Are you an adjuster just like me that's looking for every opportunity to make as much money as you can off of every claim that you do? Well, I want you to go to your computer and I want you to type in the letters HIPPLOCK.com. That's the HipLock tool. The HipLock tool is the newest and greatest tool to hit the market for steep and tall adjusters. The HipLock tool will get you safely up a slope of a roof and give you full access to switch sides and get anywhere you need to get. It's designed by a veteran adjuster, Vince Gaines, so this will be a tool you will not be disappointed in. Listeners of my podcast are going to get free shipping by using the promo code ALAN21. So go to the website, check it out. That's HIPPLOCK.com, HIPPLOCK.com.
Welcome to the Adjustments in Life podcast, the podcast designed for anyone in or connected to the world of insurance adjusting. From industry experts to seasoned veterans, we bring the latest tips, information, and news. Because you know by now that becoming licensed is just the starting point. Now, here's your host, Alan Olson.
All right. Thank you for joining the podcast today. I have a really special guest today. I've had a lot of privilege by being able to work with this gentleman, not only as an adjuster, but on the management side as well. So I want to welcome onto the podcast Mr. Timothy Etheridge of Alacrity Solutions. Tim, thanks for joining.
You are quite welcome, sir.
All right. So, you know, I stress a lot on this program the importance of relationships and keeping those relationships. And that's one of the things I've been able to do with Tim as we worked together through the years. I stepped out of the management side of adjusting and went back into the field and maintained a really good relationship with Tim, working under him. And so I just, before we get into too much of this, I just want to say, hey, thank you, Tim, for working with me. As much as helping me, I feel like I owe a debt of gratitude to you just for the relationship that we've been able to acquire together. So just don't want that to go without being said. So who's Timothy Etheridge?
All right. Now, as you mentioned, I am one of the senior client managers with Alacrity Solutions. My current role is overseeing the catastrophe property claims on the USAA account, which I'm very fortunate to have that account. This account includes not only myself, but I also have a senior field manager. I also have 5 full-time regional field managers and up to 5 additional temporary managers at any given time, especially during the peak times whenever the storm seasons are around. And we normally manage anywhere from 250 to 350 or more field adjusters at any given time.
Wow. That's a group to have to tend to on a daily basis. I'm positive of that. My teams that I worked on were near that massive. And I know your role is kind of being over everybody. Am I correct on that?
You are correct. It's very trying at times.
Where in the chain, other than total client manager, if an adjuster in the field's having trouble, are you the guy to come to? Or who in that chain is the person that they're going to be dealing with?
Good question. So the basic chain of command goes like this. The adjuster, if they have a question, would typically go to their assigned regional field manager. Now, if the regional field manager can't answer that question, then he in turn should bubble it up to the senior field manager. And at that point, if the senior field manager has any issues, questions, or concerns, then it would be bubbled up to myself at that point.
Gotcha. So in other words, for the new adjusters that are listening, if you get a chance to work on the USAA account, take this insight. This is only going to earn you more credibility as you experience and learn in the adjusting field by understanding the chain of command. And I'm sure it doesn't just stay with USAA. This works into the other clients as well. But understanding your chain of command and the people that are above you and who they have to answer to is extremely crucial to how they look at you. You know, you as a new adjuster, you don't want to be the guy that just came on and calling Tim in the middle of the evening, trying to get answers of what the, what they might want you to do on a particular claim. So that's good. I appreciate that. What'd you do before you got into this? You know, it, I know for me, I came from construction, and I think that probably 80% of the adjusters out there that get into this probably worked somewhere around the construction trade. But where'd you start? What brought you into this?
Now, oddly enough, I didn't even know what an adjuster was before boldly entering into the adjusting world. Prior to being a property adjuster, I was in commercial construction, but in between the construction phase and adjusting, I was in a totally different field for 10 years. Believe it or not, I was in law enforcement. I was a sergeant investigator and a canine handler for the narcotics task force here in East Texas. So I basically went from a high intensity, high stress job of kicking in doors and chasing criminals to actually having to knock on the doors and climbing on the roofs. I had a friend who mentioned that he was an adjuster, and he kept telling me these wild stories of how he made $120,000 a year and only had to work 6 months out of the year. So obviously I was intrigued by that. And I asked him, what did an adjuster do? And he explained how easy it was to just go out, look at the damages from a storm, and then just tell the insurers how much it would cost to make the repairs. And that sounded easy enough. So in 2001, I finally decided to give it a shot. So I took a week off from the narcotics task force, and I went to a 5-day adjuster school that NCA Group was hosting in Indiana, of all places. From there, I was actually offered a chance to go for a few days to Kansas City, Missouri to work a handful of hell claims. So I decided to take a few more days off from the task force and try my hand at adjusting. So basically, 2 days turned into 2 years in Kansas City, and the rest is pretty much history. Here we are today.
Yeah. So Alacrity Solutions now is a remnant of NCA Group?
Correct.
So basically, you and I'm just speaking in terms of everywhere I've seen and who I've met, you've worked for one company pretty much, well, all of your career.
True. I never strayed.
Well, that's an achievement of its own. You don't find that very often. I know we all try to find that place we call home as adjusters. We want to work for the same firm. I know I tried to do that. It's worked somewhat for me. I think we all do find that place that we call home, but home doesn't always have what it takes to survive. So we kind of got to outsource here once in a while in order to keep putting food on the table. In those years of from then till now, can you kind of explain some of the ranks that you've gone up? What if you worked multiple accounts? Have you managed on several accounts? What? How did that story kind of lay out?
Yes, I was just a normal adjuster for almost 10 years with again what used to be NCA Group, and they kept offering me a position in management. So I finally decided to take the position in management, and I started off with a smaller account. Up in the Northeast, just managing just a few adjusters. And it was just me by myself. From there, I kind of transitioned over to another larger account, which was Nationwide. Now, I was managing Nationwide, and that was also a very good account to manage. And then the opportunity came up for me to manage the USA account, which I definitely jumped at this opportunity because I do love managing this account. So I was still considered to be just a team lead of sorts to begin with, until later on, then I finally transitioned up to what was called a claims manager, and then from a claims manager to a client manager. And the last, I think, 2 years, we were transitioned from a client manager to a senior client manager on the larger accounts that we have.
Okay. Where all, can you give us some ideas? I mean, I've traveled all over the place and more places than I think I've ever really dreamed I'd get to go. And I got to work Philadelphia over 4th of July, take my kids to see the Liberty Bell. I mean, there's an amazing amount of places you get to go. What are some of the places that you went, and what were the most memorable places that you got to go, or where this career took you?
Oh, wow. Yes. Before going into adjusting, I didn't travel very much at all. I stayed pretty much in Texas. After becoming an adjuster, I had the opportunity to do quite a bit of traveling in the adjusting business. My daughter was actually born in Kansas City, Missouri, but she wasn't very old when we moved back to Texas. But she was definitely an experienced traveler by the age of 5, for sure. When she was 3, we were in Blue Springs, Missouri for almost a year. And then it turned out that she actually went to pre-K in St. Cloud, Minnesota, because we were also up there for about a year. And then we finally settled back down in Texas for the remainder of our education. But I've also had the opportunity to travel to Durango, Colorado back in 2002 to work the wildfires. That was definitely memorable. I've also been to Alaska on 3 separate occasions to work some claims, and also been to Hawaii on 8 different occasions to handle claims. Those are definitely memorable. But again, there are just too many to mention as far as being memorable, because we do get to travel a lot with this job.
Yeah, I've been really pleased at all the places, although, you and I both know I passed on Alaska once, and I've been kicking myself in the rear ever since. But I have not been privileged enough to have Hawaii. And honestly, I hear horror stories, and sometimes people are happy, and I really don't care about the work. I just want the trip to Hawaii. You know, I mean, if I don't make any money on that trip, that's okay with me. I can live with that. It just popped into my head, and I know that as people get into this business, if they get the opportunity to work for Alacrity, and especially with you on the USAA account, I've just got to give everybody a little bit of a warning, because you are kind of known as the prankster amongst the managers. And I have to tell a quick story, because when I first transitioned into the management field, I was asked to go help on the Liberty Mutual account. And of course, that's the account I had primarily been working. So I knew all the managers real well. And the particular storm that I got deployed as a manager on turned out not to be a very big producing storms for claims. So the vice president of claims asked me if I'd go help on the USAA account. And I knew nothing about the guidelines or anything that the USAA account engulfed on the adjusters. So I get this phone call that says, here, if we need you over there more so than Liberty Mutual, so why don't you give this guy, Tim Etheridge, a call, and he'll fill you in on all the particulars for USAA. You'll be fine. Just give him a call and head down to help them out. And so I'm on my way to assist in management in an account I don't even know. I've never worked before. And I call Tim, and Tim's supposed to be the guru. Well, I knew that he was a manager on there, but I didn't know how long he'd been managing. But either way, he's supposed to be the guy that gives me all the insight. So I call him on the phone, and he answers, and I explain who I am. And he says, oh, okay. I says, I'm supposed to call you to get some insight on help managing on USAA. And the phone gets really quiet. And all of a sudden I hear, oh, is that account with like army people or something? And for about 3 minutes, I'm sitting on the phone going, is this guy even an adjuster? Or does he know anything about this? Because he acts like he knows nothing. And I get off the phone, and you kind of cracked up and started laughing a little bit about that. But I get off the phone, and I call Jody Beard. And of course, Jody Beard falls off the phone laughing. And they just you got to expect that from Tim. That's just the kind of guy Tim is. And then, it wasn't a year and a half or 2 years later, we end up together at a help room in Fort Worth, Texas. And I go out to assist on a ride along and come in and find that my computer screen is upside down, as well as when I try to log in, it makes sounds as if I'm passing gas through the help room. So I do have to, I do have to give those that are listening a little bit of a warning that should you get the opportunity to work around Tim, do not leave your equipment unattended. If you do, it's likely that it won't work the same when you come back as it did when you walked away from it.
Fair warning.
not to be a spoiler, but unless you welcome it, we and I think sometimes we do welcome the it breaks up the monotony and lets us have a little bit of fun. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, the claims industry today, it's totally different than it was when you started. And constantly people are asking, where's it going? What's it doing? It is an ever-changing industry. So in your eyes, the way you look at it, how has it evolved? And in today's world, what does it take to be a good adjuster in today's industry?
Oh, wow. Yes. The industry's definitely evolved in the short 19 years that I've been in the adjusting business. When I started, we had to print out all our reports and the photos. Of course, that meant a lot of ink, a lot of paper. We had to staple everything together, and then we had to drive to the office so our manager could review everything. And then he would take it, he would look at it, he'd take a red pen, he'd mark all the revisions that needed to be done. After he marked all of them up, then he'd hand them back to us, then we'd travel back to our hotel room or to our house or office, make the revisions, then print everything back out, then travel all the way back to the office, turn everything back in. Well, obviously now that's changed, so it's just a lot easier now since everything we do now is obviously sent, electronically online. But as you mentioned, the requirements have also changed for today's adjuster as compared to adjusters 20 years ago. We now live in a world where, I guess due to advancements in technology, everyone now wants instant gratification. That's the way the world is today.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it pertains to shopping or service of any type. Based on that current mindset, insurance companies are now much more focused on customer satisfaction and how quickly they can get a payment into their insurer's hands. And obviously, that makes perfect sense in a business in order to improve customer satisfaction. So where we used to be handed 100 losses and we're told to just get them in when we can or when we could, today's adjuster may only receive 25 or 30 losses at the very beginning of a storm, so that their average turnaround time is going to be quicker. And the requirements of an adjuster also used to be where, an okay file was okay. You might have 3 or 4 line items and maybe 10 photos. And again, like I said, that was okay. But in today's world, that okay file is no longer acceptable. Quality is now a major focus with all major insurance companies, as well as most adjusting firms. They also want to see that good quality.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you 100%. And I mean, I know speaking for me, I think I have more than 50 or 60 photos typically on a claim that may not even have any damage.
Correct.
And I think you can agree in that case, those photos are in there to prove that we didn't find damage. And I think there was a time that you didn't have to prove when you didn't have damage. You just had to prove that you did have damage. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That is definitely the norm on today's files. It's just as equally as important to prove that you have no damage. And normally that does require more photographs than it would if you actually had damage.
Yeah. And, I'm probably one of the first ones, I'll admit, that complains a lot when we start looking at the documentation that's needed. I mean, gosh, we put together a long list of things. I mean, they say when you put your loss report together, we're not writing a novel. We're just telling the facts. But sometimes it can take a short novel to get all those facts in there, and it may not be that big of a claim. Real quick, before we get off of this subject, how much would you stress that? Because anybody that comes to me for help and assistance to learn how to do this, the biggest thing I can give them constantly is the importance of documentation.
Correct. And again, me coming from a law enforcement background, documentation was very important. And that also just rolls right over into adjusting. Documentation is the most important thing that we have, because as they always hear, is that if it's not in the file, then it didn't happen.
Never happened.
That's right.
You know, I didn't, I spent a real short time on the management side compared to what you've done. So I do see that perspective. So I know where that lack is. And in all honesty, across the spectrum, there is a huge lack. That's something that I think could, even though there is a more of a requirement when we start doing these claims, but I think that there is a potential for today's adjusters to excel in that more so than what they're doing. They're not putting that documentation into it that they could be, for the fact that it becomes work. But I feel that it's really important to teach these newer adjusters, and especially a lot of the listeners of this podcast will probably be brand new or you know, relatively new to the trade. And to hear it come out of your guys' mouth, it just speaks bounds, because, you know, I can tell them, but the people that are actually going to be looking at their files, I'm not going to be reviewing their files, but you might. So having you say that to them and express the importance, I think, can go a long ways.
I definitely agree. And one of the most common questions that you hear from the newer adjusters also is, how many photos does it take to properly document a file? And there's never a set number. It's however many it takes to adequately document damage or lack of damage thereof.
Correct. So in the eyes of Timothy Etheridge, when you look at somebody, what are the qualities you're looking for to say, now that's a good adjuster?
Okay, so what doesn't make a good adjuster? So in my perspective, I like to do what's called the 5 A's of adjusting. So the first one would be absorb. So as a newer adjuster, you want to absorb as much as possible from your instructors in the classroom, virtual, in-person, wherever it may be, your assigned team leads and managers, and as well as anyone that you might know who is a successful adjuster. The second one is accept. So you got to be able to accept constructive criticism from others, whether it be another adjuster who is successful, whether it's going to be, again, your instructors or your team leads. You've got to be able to accept constructive criticism and learn from that. The third A is adapt. You've got to be able to adapt to ever-changing guidelines, situations, wherever the situation may be. And that's another major factor in being a good adjuster.
Absolutely.
The fourth A is attention. You've got to be attentive. You've got to be attentive to your managers. You've got to be attentive, again, to your instructors. You've also got to be attentive to that insurer or that member. That entails listening and showing empathy to the insureds. That's another key point to being a good adjuster. The fifth and one that I think is one of the most important A's of adjusting is attitude. Always maintaining a positive attitude can make a world of difference in adjusting. As long as you maintain a positive attitude and you're willing to learn and you're willing to listen to that insurer, that member, whenever they're telling you that story, and you're having the patience to sit there and listen to them, act like it's the first time that you've ever seen that hailstone, then that's going to make a world of difference for you in the adjusting world.
I couldn't agree more. As you're explaining these things, you know, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think that these qualities, I don't think you have to be experienced in order to obtain these qualities. I think these are something you could have, or a brand new adjuster that just got his license out on his first deployment can express these qualities to you. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, I'm listening to you explain this, and I'm going, okay, that doesn't take years of experience. Pieces of it can, but the overall, the 5 A's that I'm hearing you talk about, that just has to be something that you as a manager can see you're willing to work with. You have you're taking these things without even knowing it. You could be taking these things and expressing them. And so based off of what you're telling me, you could say that's a good adjuster right there, or they're going to be a good adjuster. And so those that are listening, this is top notch information right here. If you can implement these things into what you're doing, you're going to draw the eyes of the managers, and those are the guys that are going to keep you out in the field when you want to be working. Okay, man, this is good stuff, man. I really appreciate you laying that out there, because had more ears hear this, it could make a huge impact on the incoming adjusters. And there's always a need for incoming adjusters. So those that are getting this information, if they're willing to implement it and put it to work in their lives, could make a big impact. So really the last thing I wanted to ask you, because I ask this to everybody, mostly because I want to know where they get, you know, where they're coming from, because I know I was given very valuable advice, and thank God I was willing to listen to some of the things that I was told. I didn't always follow them, I guess, as good as I should have. But I can look back now and say, hey, some of the most simple things that people told me when I listened to them, made the biggest impact on what I do. So if there was ever a solid piece of advice that was given to you that stood out in your life, what is that piece of advice? And then how did that contribute to your success?
Okay, so possibly one of the best pieces of advice I ever received came from my very first store manager, a guy by the name of John Weeby. He told me that it's not so much as how you arrived on the storm and how good you were when you arrived that will be remembered. It's how good you were on the day you leave the storm is what will be remembered the most. And that statement can be interpreted in many ways, whether it pertains to your productivity, your file quality, your attitude, communication. I mean, that pertains to almost anything and everything that has to do with adjusting. And that has stuck with me from, the almost 19 years that I've been in this business. And I still try to preach that to each and every one that I come across.
Well, man, that's good. That's solid. I think that's something that you're exactly right on. You know, it's so true. When you walk off of that site, the last thing they remember about you will be what you carry with you. So, man, good, solid information. Well, Tim, man, I really appreciate you, joining me today. I think the listeners are going to get some, good insight out of this and hopefully implement it in ways. I hope that everybody listening here gets a chance at some point in their career to work with Tim. He's a really awesome guy to work with. I've been very privileged to have had the relationship with him that I have, and the relationship that we have will continue on. I'm positive of that. So again, Tim, thanks for joining. I hope everybody got some good information today. As I said, this is good stuff. Good managers will carry you a long ways in this business. So do as they ask, focus on the things that they need, and leave that good impression. Leave that impression that when the day you leave, that they want you to come back. Remember the 5 A's. Any last words?
Thank you for allowing me this opportunity. It was certainly a pleasure, and the feeling is mutual.
All right. Okay. Well, hopefully we can do this again and not too long from now, and kind of keep things updated and keep joining it together on this. So thanks again, folks, and we'll see you down the road.
Every year, independent insurance adjusters across the nation attempt to create a successful business, which is hard to do in an industry that's ever-changing. TheAdjusterGuide.com is a licensing, training, and membership community for independent insurance adjusters. We go beyond licensing to give you the tools, resources, and ongoing support to reach your goals. Whether you're brand new or have been in the business for years and have been searching for a solid community who knows and understands what you deal with daily, check out TheAdjusterGuide.com and download our comprehensive guide to becoming an independent insurance adjuster. Stop guessing and start growing your business. Go beyond licensing.